Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Welcome to Thanksgiving week. I can't even believe I'm saying that. To celebrate Thanksgiving week, I always try to do something special. This week, I have three special guests. Well, we're kind of hoping tomorrow is a special guest and that Allison doesn't have to go to jury duty. You know what? I used to be a paralegal. My guest today is Jen Frost, and I promise I'll have her on in 1 second. I just want to share this pretty funny story. So I used to be a paralegal. And I hate jury duty. I know what the irony, right? So I realized that most lawyers do not want to work the week of Thanksgiving. So I always move my jury duty. I don't know if this is legal, right? My jury duty to either that week or Christmas week. And I picked Tuesday of this week as one of the options they had. And I'm really praying that, you know, my gamble pays off. It's paid off the last couple times. I know it's my civic duty. I should want to do this, but I just don't. So there's that. I have to go to the city. I don't like the city. Well, enough about me. Welcome to the show, Jen Frost from Faith and Fabric. So excited to have you here today.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
This is a second visit for Jen Frost. I've asked her to come back this week because we are entering into Advent. And one of Jen's projects that I absolutely love is her Jesse Tree patterns and project book. We'll get to that in just a moment. But other than the Jesse Tree, Jen, remind us again of your website and what you do and what Faith and Fabric is all about.
Absolutely. So by background, I used to work in IT, and then I was an old mom. I was very fortunate to be a mom, not a complaint there. And we were just so happy to have him that I started staying home. But I really wanted an outlet to be able just to kind of direct all that energy. So I started, and I think like a lot of women do, men too, obviously, I started blogging. Mm-hmm. And while that was interesting to me, I found I was just much more into the creative side of things. And so I've been using my time and my site, Faith and Fabric Design, to create crafts and projects that are really focused on teaching our faith to young children. And then last year, gosh, I can't believe it's been about a year and a half now, a very sweet elderly neighbor passed away, and she knew I was crafty, and she left me like two or three giant tubs of fabric, and I had no idea what to do with it. I can sew a hem on a pair of pants, but I figured that was a good opportunity to learn to quilt, and it was, you know, kind of a pretty strong message to do something else. And so in quilting and learning to quilt, I started making Christian patterns, and then even some that are really focused on some of the Catholic feast days to celebrate, because there's just not a lot out of there. And so I found really good success with that.
Wow. So quilting, here's my quilting story. I know I shared this with you before, but so I decided that I was going to quilt my son a blanket for his bed. My friend was going to teach me. We went to the fabric store. I think I dropped about $100 in fabric. And I went to her house and cut all the strips. We're going to make a log cabin, I think was the name of the pattern. And I cut all the fabric and all the pieces. And there it sits. Cut up in a bag in my closet. My son's going to be 21 in 2 weeks. So
you can save it for a grandchild gift.
There we go. For his first birthday, that's what I was going to give him. So 20 years later, the fabrics probably. How long does fabric keep?
You know, it depends where you buy it. Usually quite a while, but You're probably safe.
Oh my gosh. So funny. So I gave my sewing machine away to this young woman who I adore, who was making baptismal bibs for our church. So it's not going to happen. It's just maybe I'll give her the fabric and she can make it for her child. It's red, white, and blue. It's very cute. Never goes out of style. It was. I was very excited with my bad self. But apparently for me, designing it and pulling out the material was what really interested me. Not exactly the sewing. Was it a hard learning curve for you? Did you feel like you took right to it?
You know, when I was a little girl, I was in an organization called Dolls, and it was Daughters of Our Lady of Sorrows. It's the school I went to. Awesome. And from K through sixth grade, we got together once a month with our Dolls leader, and we would learn some kind of craft, whether it was candle making or baking or sewing or stitching or knitting or crocheting. And, you know, we just started obviously at an age appropriate level and built up. So I think I've always had this comfort level with just diving into some kind of new craft, new trade almost, if you will, knowing I'm not going to succeed at all of them. But I've always liked sewing. I've always enjoyed it. I've had a sewing machine. And so it was more just learning how to do it as opposed to the uncomfort of working with a sewing machine, if that makes sense.
Yes. I actually, as you were saying that, I happened to look over in the corner of my studio. There is my mother's old Singer. It was the in the cabinet type where you flip the top open and it becomes your workstation. And then you flip up and put into place the sewing machine. And then the putt pedal was underneath it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I actually paid to have it refurbished and fixed and then could not figure out how to thread it. Do you see a pattern here? Speaking of pattern. I've never figured out crocheting. I've never figured out knitting, much to the distress of the beautiful women in my life, my friend Karen and my mother-in-law, who have tried desperately to teach me. It was really on my heart to learn, but I really think there's a gene, Jen Frost. You have it. I do not.
You know, here's if I can give you my fun short story. So please. For Halloween this year, we host a Halloween party for our neighborhood every year. It's a lot of fun. All the kids come over. And I rocked this party. Like, my Pinterest food was off the charts, right? Awesome. And we all go trick-or-treating, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself because, you know, every little food and every little drink is decorated perfectly. And we're about four blocks in trick-or-treating, and one of my girlfriends leans over and she's like, you know your kid has no shoes on, right? So, you know, I joke, Martha Stewart, I am. June Cleaver, I am not. So we all have gifts.
That's fabulous. I actually love the story in the gospel with Jesus, with Mary and Martha. And Martha is really hard for me to say because I'm from Boston. So she's really just Martha. And I'm just going to call her Martha because that's who she is. So anyway, the story about Mary and Martha that I love so much is that she is called Martha. And I think of Martha Stewart whenever I think of.
Oh, I like that.
That's who I think of. So that cannot be a coincidence. God was totally planned that from the beginning of time so that the rest of us would be, oh yeah, I get that story.
And I never thought of that.
Yeah, it's exactly what came to my first thing. I said, oh, Martha, wonder, that's kind of funny. Godsidence. But I am such a Mary at the foot of Jesus's feet. Like, that is my gift. But I used to think that because of the way that wording goes, that the one who sits at Jesus' feet picks the better part is the better one. But it's not. Like, we need balance. We need people who can serve and make clothes and take care of others. And I'm called to take part in that in the way that I can best, not just sit there and let other people wait on me. And I just love that scene, though. I love that she is so bold that she'll come to the Messiah and start to complain about her sister. As a woman with a sister, I love that I can tell God when she's getting on my nerves. Of course, he won't take my side.
Right.
I really expected him to turn to Mary and say, get off your duff and do something. But that's it's not at all what he says. Oh, good stuff. And you know what? And thank you, Jen, Jen Frost from Faith and Fabric Design for joining me today and also helping me get back on the horse. I was telling Jen before we started the show, and you probably listened on Friday and know exactly what I'm going to say. I was just off on Friday. I think the Lord spends much time humbling me and teaching me that I am not a perfect human being, and you know what? That is okay. But it really was an interview. I like to make up words, and that one wasn't on purpose, but it really did fit. It was an interview. But today, I'm so thrilled to have Jen Frost with me, Faith and Fabric Design, helping me to recover from putting poor Paul Thigpen through my, like, I forgot words. I couldn't, it was awful, Jen. It was just a disaster. Maybe I'm just too much of a fangirl and I just,
Yeah. Maybe it was nerves or something built up. I think everybody has off days.
I think we do. Or maybe it's just my menopausal fog brain, but there's that. Yeah. Not that I'm not a fangirl of you. I just feel more comfortable with you because
it was a gentleman on the show.
Yes. So we're going to be talking today about Advent, about the upcoming. I can't believe it starts on Sunday. Maybe it's because it's so warm here. It's up until today, it was warm here in New England, which for us is like 40. I don't think that's the same for California.
No, we've been having a cold week. It's in the 60s. It's freezing.
Jen shared it was 64 degrees outside her home. And I laughed and I said, that's the degrees inside my home. Mm. And that's being toasty. I'm a little bit of a Scrooge, a little bit of an Ebenezer when it comes to my thermostat. I do make my family put on extra layers of clothing, perhaps a hat or glove to keep me from having to pay for oil. That's not really good.
Well,
it?
You know, San Diego, we have our cold weather trends, and that's always the little shorts with our tall UGG boots. And that's how we adjust to being cold out here.
I love that look. That is too funny. Well, we're going to be, we come back in just a few, in just a few minutes, we're going to be looking at Advent. I'm going to ask Jennifer. Jen, do you go by Jennifer at all? Just Jen?
Only when I was in trouble as a kid. Usually okay. It's just Jen now.
The problem is that Jennifer is the station, one of the station managers, one of the, production managers, and her name is up in front of me. So I look over and it says Jen. So I'm going to move Jen where I can see it. When we come back, we're going to talk with Jen Frost, Faith and Fabric Design, about Advent. I'm going to ask her about her family traditions, share a little bit of my own, and then we'll look at her awesome Jesse Tree book. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jigris here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jingris here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined this morning by Faith and Fabric Design blogger and pattern design creator and crafty all-around woman, Jen Frost. As we were coming back from commercial, we were talking about our Amazon Echoes and how my husband seems to like Alexa better than me. He'd enter in the room and say hello to her before he said hello to me. So now I get a, hi, Allison, and a, good Alexa, good morning. I'm like, really, dude, you need to stop that. But we just saying all the different ways that we use it. And I was just going to just finish that thought that I don't always have my glasses on and I can't always see the time. So I'm so lazy. I will go, Alexa, what time is it? It's really bad.
Yeah, my biggest love with her is when I lose my cell phone, which I constantly do because I just put it down. We have a small, small house, but I'm still managing. I leave it places. And so I always have her call it for me.
I did not know you could do that. That's awesome.
It's really convenient.
I just uploaded a new skill that she can do the rosary. I haven't tried it yet, I don't know what it sounds like, but I have had her read me books. You know, like I'm folding laundry and I realize I was listening to music, but sometimes I just get distracted by that. So I said, Alexa, read me a story. Like I'll go onto my Kindle and pick up. It's like, that's really cool. I love technology. I just think it's so neat.
Wow.
But there's not a whole lot of technology in my Advent traditions, which is what we're going to talk with next with Jen Frost, my guest today. Though I did just download a new Advent app from BibleZone. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And I know that the Daughters of St. Paul have a great Advent link, Advent app that you can download. I like those. Like, I love that my phone reminds me, and just like trying to, you know, there's just so many different Christmas stuff jumping out at us, that to keep that season where it belongs and to, you know, kind of embrace the waiting of Advent, we like to do different things in our house. What's one of your favorite or Advent traditions? That's the word. Looking right at it. What do you guys do?
So one thing we started doing that really, it's a little bit of an old world tradition, because we're Polish. Mm-hmm. And not in, and relatively new Polish too, where my grandparents came over. So they brought some tradition with them. And while they didn't celebrate a ton of it, they talked about what their families did. I think they were part of that. You know, we're in the U.S. now, and they really wanted to assimilate.
Yep.
But one of the big things they did was, or they talked about that used to happen for them, was that Christmas didn't actually start until Christmas. Mm. And so my husband and I did that last year. We put up a tree because he loves his tree, but we didn't decorate it. We just put white lights on it. And then we decorated the house for Advent. I went to Michael's and I got some little purple and silver flowers. And so we put some purple and silver around the house, and I quilt. So I had, you know, pink and purple table runners out and placemats. And we just really, we decorated the home. So it still felt a little bit festive for us, but it was very clear when you walked into our home that it wasn't Christmas yet. And then Christmas Day, got up early, put the tree up, got rid of the Advent, pulled out all the greens and the reds, and Christmas started. And we actually did the 12 days of Christmas.
Oh, that's so cool.
That was, it was, we had such a good time. And my son got a little, I have this, it's a quilt, and each pocket has, there's 12 pockets on it. So he got a little treat out of there every day. And we just really enjoyed celebrating Advent for Advent. And then we enjoyed having Christmas for Christmas.
I love that. Now, is that the, you're part of the Catholic Women Bloggers Network, Blog Hop, over on reconciledtoyou.com. You can click on WCWBN Blog Hop to see all of those. Is that what you shared in your Blog Hop post?
It will be what I'm sharing. Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Great.
Yeah, I've been having a little trouble, I'll be honest with you, with my blog. My WordPress account is not cooperating, so I haven't been able to update anything in almost 3 weeks.
Oh, that's so frustrating.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
I would lose
it
my mind.
It's driving me crazy. My IT guy is on vacation, and I'm stuck right now. My hands are a little bit tied, so.
Oh, that would make me crazy. I mean, I think my site's been down for like a few hours, and I've been a raving lunatic.
Yeah. Well, you know, the site is, thankfully, the site is functioning from a front end, but if you try to get in the back end, I can't create anything new.
Oh, frustration.
So at least it's not down.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
At least it's not down.
I look forward to seeing that. Like, what is so neat? What if, like, okay, so I tried to hold Christmas off until the 25th, and I do decorate a little bit, but people give me, I get a lot of pushback from family and friends. Do you? Because like 1 year I sent out my Christmas cards during the 12 days of Christmas. And people were like, why'd you send them after Christmas? Like, it doesn't, I wanted it before so I could hang it up. Now I just received it and threw it away. I was like, well, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. No, so two thoughts. First on the cards, my husband and I just talked about those last night, because I was like, we should send them out on like the 24th. And he's like, no, we can't do that. So just because we do the 12 days doesn't mean everybody does. They're probably going to open it and throw it in the trash, like you
there
just
you
said. So
and they will.
I think we're going to wait until like the 10th. You know what I mean? We'll wait until we're in December. I'm certainly not. I have all my Christmas cards here, and we started addressing them.
Nice.
But I have no intent of sending them out, you know, this week or anytime this soon. So we'll take care of those. But, you know, I don't get any pushback, obviously, from him. Andy, my husband, because he's very supportive of it, and he agrees that it was nice how we did that. And, you know, my friends have never said anything directly, and I find that when we do like a progressive dinner in our neighborhood or something and they come over, it's an opportunity just to share about what we're doing and why we're doing it. And I was at a women's retreat a few months ago, and Meg Hunter-Kilmer was speaking, and she was wonderful, and she had just kept forcing the point that, you know, all you can do is just open the door a crack, just open the door a crack and just share and then stop. And I felt like for us, you know, when it's our turn to host at our house, we usually do dessert.
when people come in, it's just a chance for them to see maybe someone doing something a little bit different, or it jogs their memory of how they used to do it. And it's just opened some really interesting discussions with friends about Christmas and faith.
I wish I lived in a neighborhood that we could, that I had neighbors, because the progressive dinner, that is such, and not to go off the complete, that's such a neat idea. So you start at one house for, I'm guessing, appetizers and a cocktail?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do cocktails at all the houses, but, you know, and we have the kids all come, and there's about five houses that we do. And, it's honestly, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. And we live in a very old neighborhood. Our homes are actually all World War II vacation homes. So they're small. Anywhere between like, we did finally rebuild ours, but when we bought it, it was 800 square feet.
Oh my gosh.
And,
tiny
Oh, they're lovely. They are tiny homes. Yeah. Great. But most of the houses in our neighborhood are still small. You know, they're about 1,000 square feet, and they're close to each other without being on top of each other. They're only, I think each plot's only maybe about a quarter acre, but they're lovely. It's just these little old 1950s homes that we live in, and we really know all of our neighbors, and I love it.
Oh, that is so sweet. I'm actually getting two new neighbors for the first time. We've lived here for 20 years, and the land behind our house has been woods for 20 years. And when we bought the house, we knew there was two lots behind us. So I guess we've been pretty blessed that they've not sold them for 20 years. The lot next to us was a quaint little house, but the man that lived there was old, and he passed away. And he told us before he died, he said, "When I die, my kids are going to sell this land, and it's attached to the highway. So expect a business." So I live next to a car dealership.
Wow.
Literally, I can see the car dealership out my window as I speak right now. And then to the right of us, we have wonderful neighbors. Absolutely. We have three little houses right next to us, and they're wonderful. But none of them were in our age range. One was too young, one's too old. So it'd be kind of interesting now to have neighbors for the first time. But I always, like, you know, I watch the Hallmark Channel a lot during Christmas. I don't watch it all year round, but I'm kind of a Christmas countdown fanatic. And you just see those things happening on television. You think, I wonder if anyone actually does this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. There's so much to be said for community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having a neighborhood where we all know each other and we all kind of look out for each other. And it's not to say that, you know, they're your best friends. I think if you have a best friend and neighbor, that is very wonderful. That is very wonderful that they're close by. But, you know, we just, our lives are connected. We see each other every day, and we might as well, I don't want to say make the best of it, but we all get along.
That's wonderful. That's some. Are they all about your age as well with children?
They are. There's one little original owner on our street, Mr. George, and he bought his house. I think he told us for like $16,000.
Oh my gosh!
Which, to live in San Diego, close to the beach, is nothing for $16,000.
Wow.
But all the rest of them are families about my age. We joke it's the street of onlys, though. There's four families on our street that are our age, and each one has an only child. And so we've actually made an effort to raise the kids together, so they really have that fun sense of community, so close to each other.
That's amazing. That's amazing that not only has, you know, did the Lord put that so it would be, but that you all recognized it and then embraced that
gift. We talked about it. Yeah, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. Four young families. I'm 40, but almost 40. But, you know, all of them, they're all onlys. They're all four only children.
Considering I'm 8 years older than you, you're really young.
Well, thank you. Most days I feel it.
Oh, yes. Just listen to Friday's interview. You can see what happens. We have to look forward to in about 8 years, Jen. When your brain, you wake up, but your brain forgets too. We're talking this morning with Jen Frost. Faith and Fabric Design is her blog. And we're going to be looking at some more Advent traditions when we come back. I'm going to share a few of those that we did here in our home, and then look at the Jesse tree. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Sinking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking this morning with Jen Frost, Faith and Fabric Design, for more on her wonderful work. And we were talking about Advent, which starts unbelievably this weekend. And just a couple of the typical ones, Advent wreath. That's something we kind of do in our home. At least we have the intent to do it. We have one out on the table. But now getting a 17 and 20-year-old to sit down at that said table for dinner each night is getting harder and harder. And even, you know, we have a 10-year-old too, so we try to, of course, keep up these traditions for her. But even we find with our busy, crazy schedules, my husband's in deacon. I call it in deacon school. He's in diaconate formation,
aka
deacon school. You know, we had two nights a week we do that. And before you know it, it's like, oh, that candle is still very high. And it's week, you know, it's from week one. It should not be high. Do you do an Advent wreath candle in your home?
We do. We have one. Although honestly, ours is like yours. We do still sit at the table every night. My son is only five, so his social calendar is pretty small. But we don't remember to light it every night. He's usually the better one at remembering, Mom, we have to light the candles. So we will light them, but it's always on the table, and I feel like at least it's there. Yeah. Like it's one step forward.
Exactly.
But it's there.
And I think those traditions evolve as my children have evolved. My favorite one was we used to take and find all of their books that had to do with Advent and Christmas, and we would wrap them up, or I would wrap them up, and I'd also buy them a few new ones and kind of smatter them in there, and they would put them in a big basket. And each morning or evening, depending on our schedule, because I was a homeschooler when they were third grade and fifth grade. So fifth grade boys, believe it or not, still like to have books read to them. But we would do this before they were homeschooled too. We did it for a few years. We put them in a basket, and either morning or night, we would take turns, pick a book. They'd unwrap it because it gave them that kind of feeling of unwrapping something before Christmas, and then we would read it together. And I loved that. It was an Advent. It was our Advent calendar. And I loved that. I miss doing that. And I didn't do that with my daughter. Like, some of these days, she's going to look through these pictures and be like, Mom, why did you, like, how did I, like, miss out on everything? That last born child. Or in our case, last adopted child. So, yeah, it's, is there anything else that you guys are trying to do on, a regular basis? Your calendar or?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things we started doing is about four years ago when I started staying home with Adam, I teach at our church the first weekend of Advent. We call it an Advent workshop.
Neat.
So all the families come get together and we do some kind of very hands-on project. Then the project is meant to be something that appeals to families, to adults, to children, to anyone. So this year we're painting a 12 Days of Christmas block set. Last year we painted and made Advent blocks. And so you know how blocks, wood blocks can stack and mix and create shapes. So these, they were the 4 weeks of Advent, you know, hope, love, joy, and peace. And they would stack, and you can stack a block on each week of Advent. And the week before or the year before, we painted a little wooden Holy Family. My husband's a general contractor, so he donates the wood, which helps keep it affordable. But that's been really something that we've had fun with. And it's exciting to see our church now after 4 years, looking forward to it, because I find the beginning of November, I start getting some emails from folks going, hey, do you have a date on that? We want to do that again. We want to make sure we join in. And so it's a nice way as a church community to kick off the Advent season.
I love that. And I love that it's a church event or function. I noticed that in Lent, we think of church, we think of God, we think of preparing for Easter with our church family. But I don't see that as often with Advent. I was actually very blessed this Advent. I have three speaking engagements where I'm bringing brought in to do one's an Advent. What do you call that? I can't even think of the word. I love my brain. It doesn't work. I'm doing a women's retreat on joy. And I'm doing a this is amazing. I get to go and talk on the Immaculate, Our Lady of Guadalupe about Our Lady. So that's a very cool thing as well. And then this word that starts with a P that I can't think of, but anyway, I'm going to another church and they wanted to have a special day during Advent to give people an opportunity to think about God and preparing for Advent. Mm-hmm. And I think that's wonderful that your church comes together and includes God. It's who we're waiting for. We're waiting for his arrival. The other thing I wanted to remind people, or if this is the first time you've heard of it, it's called Snap Advent. And it is a photo journey challenge that's on Instagram through my Instagram account, @reconciledtoyou. And we have a list of all these different #words for the Advent season. And you can take a picture and tag me and #, and we can all share our journey together, you know, in this waiting season. Just another way of talking about creating community. I like to create online community when I can. So Snap Advent, I'll have more about that on reconciledtoyou.com blog.
That's very cool. I really like that because there's so many people who don't have that community around them, and you're making one for them. I love that.
Oh, thank you. It was mission, by the way. I'm doing an Advent mission. And usually those are 3 days, but we're only going to do one day this Sunday, December 3rd. If you want more information, you can, I think it's the 4th actually. Yeah, December 4th out in Western Massachusetts. If you want more information, give me an email, Allison@breadboxmedia.com. Whew, mission. Couldn't think of that word. And you're right. There is a need for community, and it talk about that pushback. Not everybody wants to bring God, unfortunately, into their Christmas celebration, as ironic as that sounds. So to be able to find others to journey with. And it's been so much fun. And we're going to add a new component to this year, which I'll talk about in a further future show very soon, probably next Monday when we jump into Advent. But before that, let's look at the Jesse tree. Now, what is the Jesse tree? First of all, what is it, and what does it have to do with Christmas and Advent?
Awesome. So a Jesse tree is actually a way that you can, I like to say, celebrate Advent in a more faithful way than just the doors with boxes of chocolates. It's a countdown, and it basically gives you a way every single day of Advent to learn an aspect of faith and to learn a bit more about Jesus all the way from Old Testament through New up until his birth. And it's ours is literally, there's so many Jesse trees. If you Google Jesse tree or you Bing Jesse tree, there's a lot of different varieties out there. When we had Adam, I really wanted to make one that was child friendly, but kind of a grow with me, and also one that was good for moms who are not crafty. And so Jesse tree, actually I'm gonna take a step back. Jesse tree comes from the scripture verse that says, you know, from Jesse's, trunk or root shall sprout, a branch shall sprout. And that's obviously Jesus many generations later. Mm. And it lets you really trace his lineage all the way back.
It's our salvation history, which is really important for us to spend time with and to understand. I know I grew up not really knowing anything from the Old Testament. I knew a few of the smattering of the stories, like I knew Noah, and I pretty much just knew Noah and the Ten Commandments from the TV show that my parents watched, that big movie every Easter. So I didn't really know a whole lot more. But in order to understand the work that Jesus did and the redemptive work that he did, we have to know the whole story and to see the creation through to Jesus's birth is quite remarkable. And the more we know about this history, our history, somebody once wrote history, but they made HIS all caps because it's his story. Mm. When you look at that, it's important. And this is a beautiful child-friendly way of sharing the story day by day as you travel through Advent. And I love that you made it for the not so crafty, because that would be, me. So explain how it is for the crafty and the not so crafty.
Totally. So the book is set up in three pages. So every day there's three pages of three pages you'll be focusing on. And the first main page starts off where you're going to play some kind of game. So the games are definitely the one geared towards young children. But to your point, we've got friends that have older kids, fifth, sixth grade, and they always want to play and they always want to be included when mom's playing with the littles. So you start off with this great opening activity. And then there's the next section goes into a reading. And there's a short reading listed right there for you. You can use that reading. You can use your family Bible. If you have kids' Bibles, you can go and use those, whatever's appropriate for your family. And then the book goes into a very brief summary because, again, to your point, some of these stories might be new. Some of these stories were new to me when we were pulling this together. You know, I kind of knew who Boaz was, but I didn't really have the knowledge to talk about it. Yes. So we've written up a short summary to kind of take some of that pressure off of you. And then it goes into a Jesus connection because we really wanted to focus. This whole point of doing this is because his birth is coming up. So every day ties that story in, whether it's Genesis, the book of Genesis you're working through, learning about Noah's stories, whether you've moved into some of the latter chapters, you're always going to have a tie-in back to Jesus. And for some families, they're done after that. That's what they've done. They've played games, they've done readings, they've gotten their great summary, and they've closed in prayer. For your slightly more crafty families, page 2 has a way that you can just cut out the ornament and you can color it. So we do this actually with our son. He loves coloring. He gets his little crayons and markers out. And I laminated them and we saved his little ornaments. And so they're just so cute to have. You know, I'll probably give them to him when he gets old and married someday and let him have his own little ornaments.
Yes.
Or if you are definitely on the crafty side. But
Jen, I'm going to hold your thought right there because I hear our music going into the next. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Jen Frost about the Jesse Tree. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking this morning with Jen Frost. And before we go back to the Jesse Tree, I just want to quickly say that the person that I'm going to be kind of connecting with during Advent, for Snap Advent, to add scripture into each day along with the picture we'll be looking at. It made me think of it because we're talking about the Jesse Tree and how there's these images and they're connected with a scripture reading, which then tells a story. And that what I think Snap Advent does, and Butter Bees and Bumble Flies. Is that not the best name of a blog ever? So Butter Bees and Bumble Flies, she on Instagram last year followed along, and she had her daughter in her. Before they took a picture, they put on an index card, a scripture verse to go with every word I'd given for the day. And she reached out to me over the summer and said, hey, you know what? When Advent comes again, can we connect forces and, you know, just bring Snap Advent to another level? And I'm so grateful. And I can't wait to share that. But back to the Jesse Tree. And I also wanted to kind of tie up the Boaz. Like I just real quick, in case anyone's not heard his name before, but Boaz is known as the kinsman redeemer, which is very important for us because that's who Jesus becomes for us. And it's basically in the time that Boaz lived, it's in the book of Ruth, that only some, so she was a widow, and the only one who could redeem her and make her whole again and marry her had to be someone of a kin of her husband for it to be this, to be back to wholeness, to rightness. And that's who Boaz became. He was a relative, a kinsman, and he marries her, redeems her. And I love that. And if you have that understanding of that heritage, and now we look at Jesus, who is our brother, who's the only one who could have made us whole again, who could have redeemed us. But without knowing Boaz's story, Jesus' work is no less, but what a beautiful richness to our faith there is in the scriptures. So anyway, I just wanted to share. I love that. Love, love, love that story. So you said on page 2, we have the coloring pages, but there's more.
Yeah. And then the last one is page three. And this is your crafty person page. and that's where you're going to find templates to actually cut out the ornaments out of fabric, out of felt. I've seen ones done out of craft foam, which look amazing. And you can piece them and actually make ornaments that, you know, at that point, I think become a little bit more of a family heirloom that you're going to pass on in the future.
It is so my desire. Like you just came out last year and you shared it with me last year. And I said, my daughter and I are going to do this. And we didn't. And then over the summer in August, I said, my daughter and I are going to do this. And then I forgot that my daughter goes to school until August. And have to book. She's in, because she's deaf. She goes to a special school 11 months a year. So August came and those lazy days of summer that I kind of assumed we have, kind of like those lazy days of Advent, I kind of assume we'll have. It's never happened. But we have this new coloring thing. We're both very much into coloring together. It's one of the adult coloring books I got from Pauline Books and Media. It's absolutely beautiful. In fact, they sent me a new one this week called Scripture Illuminated. More on that to come. It's gorgeous. And so we've been coloring together. So in the morning now before school, we're going to color our Jesse tree ornaments. And it's my hope that maybe we can make a few of them at a time. So this year, maybe we can make two or three of them out of felt, where the rest of them will be the colored ones, and then kind of evolve instead of trying to tackle it all at once.
Yeah.
Or looking at it as something, I need to tackle all of this at once and getting to nothing. I'm looking at, all right, if I get one done in felt or fabric this year, because I'm not going to do any sewing, I'm going to be gluing, going to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like that's my goal.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Don't you think we seem to like, we have this idyllic, how do you say that word? Anyway, this ideal idea of,
I call it,
of what it should look like, of what Christmas and Advent and our holidays should look like. But it's part of our charm to make them our own. Did you agree?
It is. You know, I'll be honest with you. And I don't say this as a bad person, but I have a very love-hate relationship with the holidays. I'm one of those people, a little bit of Scrooge in me. I would be very happy to go from November 20th until January 3rd, because I think there is such this sense of idyllic perfection and love and not love, but just, you know, family get together and, oh, this is just the most wonderful time of the year. That song, I hate that song. It's exhausting to me. And it's not, you know, families are complicated organisms and holidays can be very stressful when you have people traveling and expectations of people wanting things. And I feel like we've just lost so much focus. And now that Christmas actually starts with Christmas in July and doesn't go away, there's this whole different sense of Christmas. And, you know, I think that's where we've just tried to kind of simplify Christmas a little bit. You know, my husband and I don't do gifts with each other mutually, because we don't want that for us. That works. It's one more added stress. And
yep, my husband and I are the same way. Yep.
Same thing. Okay. We just do it together. And, you know, we buy all of our gifts for our family. We only buy consumable gifts. We support, there's this Trappist preserves. It's these little monks and they make the most amazing jams and lentil soups. So we buy all, it's a great way to support them. And that's what we buy for our family. And our family knows every year that's all they're getting from us is jam and lentil soup. you know, and it's nice because especially for our families who travel a lot, you know, they don't have to pack big suitcases. And so we've just been really trying to redo the holidays in a way that works for us and kind of block out that most, I mean, I'm air quoting, you can't see me air quoting, but I'm quoting the most wonderful time of the year. Because it can be complicated if you let it get there. It's very easy to let it get there.
You just gave me the most wonderful idea. Speaking of the most one, I always struggle of what to get certain family members. They have everything or they need nothing, but to be able to support, the are religious who many offer some kind of consumable. And as you were talking, I thought there's also Trappists who do beer.
Yes, those are good too.
And there's coffee. So I'm thinking you have just given me the most wonderful idea, some jam, some coffee. Like, yes. Like, yeah. And that is, again, supporting and I always like to support small business as well. I like to go to the local bookstores and the local crafters. I love to go on Etsy and look for different. I was actually on Christina Trinidad's yesterday. She makes these adorable embroidered necklaces. And I was trying to pick one out for my mother-in-law, and I'm thinking, I just want one for me. It's like so hard to shop and not buy for myself. I love that, Jen. I really love that simplifying of the holiday. I had really difficult holidays, and so they became all about the presents for me.
Yeah.
Growing, like when I started having a little bit of money, and we were first married, and we put ourselves into debt every single Christmas. To try to recreate this feeling, and it didn't work. It'd be like a momentary high, and then the bills would come in, or we just realized that that wasn't what the true meaning of the holiday is about. So we don't buy each other gifts. We buy them. We make our birthdays a little bigger of a deal, and buy them then. And we try to find different ways. We love Christmas lights. So we have a shrine nearby we go look at lights at. We decorate our house like Clark Kent. Clark, that's not his name. Clark Griswold in
there
Christmas Vacation.
Like Clark Superman. Kent.
My husband does kind of think he's the Christmas lighting Superman. So that kind of works.
I love it.
Is there anything else that you guys do during Advent that you want to share as we sadly wind down our time together this morning?
No, you know, those are really our two. And I think honestly, for me, that's enough. Trying to remember to light our candles during dinner and holding off on the decorating and doing our tree is enough for me. I think honestly, the less stress I can feel like I'm putting on our family to have to do things, the better. It really is. One thing I would like to mention, if you don't mind, is we got a lot of feedback on the book last year that they wanted to purchase it in print. And so it actually just came out on Amazon. So if folks want to actually buy a hard copy of the book, it's available if you've got Prime in 2-day shipping. You can get it for free, which is nice.
I did see that. I'm going to put the link in the show notes that you can get it. And the name of the book is?
Our Family's Jesse Tree.
Our Family's Jesse Tree. And is it still available on ebook as well or downloadable?
It's available both. Yep. So you can either download or you can purchase from Amazon. Actually, I got this really awesome email from Amazon. It's in the top 3% right now of family Christian books.
That's fantastic.
That was pretty special.
Wow. Jen, that's amazing. My guest today is Jen Frost, Faith and Fabric Design. Where can we get your... Do you actually have created stuff? Like, can we buy your quilted stuff for people like me who don't quilt or just patterns?
Yes. So there's a few quilted items in the Etsy shop, Faith and Fabric Design. Those go quick. So they're usually, quilting takes a while. So we put them in there and they're usually going pretty quick. But I do sell as part of, if you're on Instagram, as part of an online pop-up shop called Zelly & Co. Every Tuesday there's an auction. So we actually have a really fun auction coming up tomorrow where you're going to see just some phenomenal handmade goods by all Catholic women artisans.
Is there a hashtag for that so we could search for it or look for it? Or so we just, what is your...
Yeah, so if you go out to Instagram, you can just do a search for Zelly & Co. That's St. Zelly, Z-E-L-I-E and Co. And you'll be able to pull up our site.
Oh, I love it.
And is spelled out A-N-D.
Excellent. I was hoping, I assumed that's what it was. And what is your Instagram handle?
I am on Instagram as Faith and Fabric.
Faith and Fabric. Well, I have so enjoyed this morning with you, Jen. I know you had to get up super early to spend the morning with me, but I'm so grateful for your time today.
Me too.
What a wonderful way to kick off Thanksgiving week with my friend Jen Frost, Faith and Fabric Design. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.